Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Hope y'all are well. And I see the Maryland area is having a wonderful time with winter. So stay safe out there, folks, obviously. Don't get too whacked out about it. And yeah, you know, just be smart about it. It's not like we can go anywhere anyway, so you don't got to be on the roads. Why be out there? This week, we will talk about the Maryland Black Bears, who came off a very odd day set Monday and Tuesday against Danbury. Team Maryland played last Tuesday and Thursday. We'll also talk about one of the players leaving. We'll have a Black Bears alumni first-year edition update and some news on some players that are out there going around. But before we get to anything like that, if you haven't heard the news or followed everything, Evan Donnelly, the player for the Team Maryland EHL team, they had their home, he and his family had their home, you know, catch on fire. And the whole house is just, yeah, it is a mess, badly damaged. Everyone was able to get out, thankfully. There's that, but they've been displaced from their home, which is a huge ordeal. But president of Team Maryland and the Maryland Black Bears, Robin Remick, set up a GoFundMe, which is now at $33,000 over just a couple of days. And it's huge for the Donnelly family to start rebuilding, but also shows the tight-knit hockey group that that is out there able to contribute to Evan Donnelly and his family to help rebuild this during this time and things like that. So if you want to go there, you can go to Team Maryland's EHL, at Team Maryland EHL on Twitter, and there should be a link towards the top there for the GoFundMe, or if you want to go to GoFundMe.com, look for Donnelly House Fire Fund, and there's a picture, color-soaked picture of Evan Donnelly against the Little Flyers. You can contribute there or even just get the word out. That would be great all around. So thank you all who have contributed to that and who have made awareness. So it is a for a good cause, and glad everyone was able to make it out. But still, scary, scary situation going on there. So if you can contribute, GoFundMe.com, Donnelly House Fire Fund, or you can go to at Team Maryland EHL on Twitter. Shifting to the hockey side, the Maryland Black Bears were in action this Monday and Tuesday, kind of causing the pushback of the show. Want to make sure that their stuff gets out there, as they are one of the primary for the primary focus of this podcast. Let's not be mistaken at all here. But they split this week against the Danbury Junior Hattricks, who on their, I think it's their second week of playing since a two-month-long break, and they had some legs about them. They were a fast team. Danbury is a very speedy team, and they showed that off very well Monday and Tuesday. Monday, Danbury got the best of the Black Bears, 4-2 the final. It seemed that one side shifted a lot. One side of the rink got all the goals, all six goals in this game, to the, I'm trying to think offhand, to the left side. No, to the right side on the radio dial. All the goals were scored on that end. So, yeah, so that was a heck of a game there. It started off with Gabe Dombrowski getting his first goal, 2:14 in, very quick strike against the Black Bears. And then Valentino Passarelli gets one just about just before midway to make it 2-0 Danbury in that one. In the second period, Maryland Black Bears come on strong, getting a little bit more pressure onto the junior hat tricks and all of this before Jude Curtis opens the scoring, his sixth of the year, from Aiden Bruin and Sean Kilcullen on a nice little snipe down the side there. Then 5 minutes after that, Garrett Sidlowski on the power play. The power play hasn't been working as effectively as the Black Bears have wanted it to. So they get it going as in a scrum in front after an initial shot. Garrett Sidlowski finds the puck, and while everyone else thinks it's on one side, wraps around the net, doesn't really curl it into the net, actually gets a good shooting angle, fires it into the open net, ties the game at 2 on the power play. Hunter McCoy, Aiden Bruich again, 2 assists for Bruich in this game. But a minute into the third, Valentino Passarelli, that speed game, speed kills, and away they go, 3-2, just a minute in, and then with 51 seconds, even though the Black Bears had been striking and striking and striking, didn't happen. Nothing happened there. Mark DiAgostino gets his sixth of the year on the empty net, and that's all she wrote. 4-2, the final on that one. Michael Morelli, 25 saves in the losing effort. He did stop a penalty shot, though, from DiAgostino on a very, I would say, kind of soft call. It looked like the Black Bears defender, who eludes me right now, got the puck first and was able to make a good stick check, and then DiAgostino kind of just fell over him. So I guess letter of the law is what it is. Four to two, the final on that one. Quick memory, as less than 24 hours turnaround, the Black Bears were back at it again. This time on the winning side, 3-2 for the Black Bears. They got out to, they were putting some pressure on quick, but a weird bounce happened on the power play. Grady Freeman gets back in the lineup after a couple of guys out injured, and then takes two consecutive penalties on that second penalty. He, got dinged on it. Alex Krause, bump out in front, kind of just deflects off everything, went past Hans Colleen, and it was 1-0 there. But Luke Mountain and Josh Nixon hook up again less than 2 minutes later on a nice little passing play started by Daniel Colabuffo. Nixon across to Luke Mountain, taps it in for his 11th of the year from Nixon and Colabuffo on that one, game tied. Second period, Luke Mountain at it again, as he was able to break down the right side, use the defender as a screen, nice little toe curl, and just snaps it home to make it 2-1, his 12th of the year. Sean Kilcullen, his 7th assist, and Philip Tornquist, his first point in the NHL and first as a Black Bear on a secondary assist. Joshua Burke gets one back 3 minutes after that, his first of the year on another bouncing puck, kind of a weird situation. The Black Bears also thought they were ahead 2-1 in this instance as in the first period. I forgot all about that. Luke Mountain again scored a goal. Somebody scored. I don't know if it was Mountain or somebody else. But puck went in the net. Whistle was blown dead because the net had gone off the moorings just a little bit. There was an argument that, you know, the puck would have went in anyway. But and Clint Millimock, the head coach, let the referees know about it. In this four referee staff, didn't do anything. But luckily, you know, got ahead. Then they went tied again. And then with 29 seconds left, another power play goal. Another Garrett Sidlowski power play goal. A little shot in front through traffic, and his fourth of the year is in there. Hunter McCoy and Dylan Finley on the assist. Finley's first point as a Black Bear, I do believe, and in the NHL. And that's all she wrote. Tight checking game towards the end. Very good flow to the third period, as just didn't seem to be many whistles. I was only half paying attention at work, but very few whistles in that one. And the Black Bears split. They get their first win over the Danbury Junior Hat Tricks in franchise history out of the four games that they have played. So good on them. Hans Colleen, another win for him. Doesn't have a save total here. It took a day for the save totals to kind of register for Monday's game. So I'm sure tomorrow, because it has Danbury and Maryland 1-0 on the power play, and all the shots on goals were all the goals that were scored. So there will be another count on that. But good play by Colleen in net. Played solid. Luke Mountain, another solid game. He's really starting to turn it up here in these last few weekends. You should expect that of a guy like that, as hardworking as Luke Mountain, as a guy who has a leadership role like that as well. So big solid time for the Black Bears. Split, obviously you want to take more than just 2 of 4 points out of all this, but I think getting a win over a team that kind of had your number, especially in that first series way back when, I think Danbury just kind of had their way, because as we look it up here, Danbury won in a close one, 2-1, and then 5-3 in the other one at Ice World. So maybe not as my memory doth escape me in all this. It was October, sue me. So the next games for the Black Bears, February 8th and 9th. So another Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday set. The Maine Nordiques come to town. Noon Eastern time starts on that one, or you can find it, follow on Hockey TV for all of that. And obviously, with those games being there, we are going to push this show again to another Wednesday premiere edition after the game stop and all of that. So as we stand right here in the standings, the Black Bears now 12-6-5, 29 points, good for third place in the East Division. They are 6 points up on the New Jersey Titans, but the big difference maker here is the Danbury Hat-Tricks. The Danbury Hat-Tricks right now have 12 points. They are currently in last. However, they also have 13 games in hand against everybody else in the division. They've only played 10 games, whereas the next team, the teams that played the least amount were the Black Bears and the Tomahawks at 23. So there's at least 13 games in hand for the Danbury Junior Hat-Tricks. So that's a possible 26 points if they run the gamut on that one. So that's a team that's going to be looked at. You have to wonder how good their conditioning is, because there's going to be a lot of games in a short amount of time. But at the same time, you also have to get all the points you can get as the Maryland Black Bears, because you know, you're going to have this team breathing down your throat towards the end there. So we will see how this all pans out, and we will go onward and upward from there into next Monday and Tuesday games. Team Maryland had a Tuesday and Thursday set of games in the at the Ice World Complex. They took on Apple Corps on last Tuesday, and they had themselves a little bit of a down showing. 6-3, the final, as Apple Corps had a big first and third period. Team Maryland got on the board first as Patrick Nowak gets an even strength goal from Justin Gusso. But New York Apple Corps, right after that, 7 minutes after that, 13:48, Zach Goldenberg gets a goal, and then less than about a minute and a half later, Michael Carducci makes it 2-1. Second period, Bobby Guyer on the power play ties it up. Roy Grisham, Halen Cookston on the assist there, but then a minute later, New York Apple Corps takes the lead again on a John Myers goal, and then Myers makes a natural hat trick as he scores 57 seconds into the third, and then 7:21 into the third, making it 5-2 at that point. Grisham again on the power play, gets himself a goal this time rather than assist from Denny Arkhipenko and Cookston, but Apple Corps puts it away as Colin Callanan gets a even strength goal, making it 6-3. That's all she wrote on that one. Tough game for Bobby McClofsky. Only 10 saves on 16 shots. Team Maryland just firing on there. Just couldn't get past Jackson Bernard. 50 shots on goal for Team Maryland. Only 3 go through. So a big toll-tending game for Jackson Bernard and New York Apple Corps, getting them that win. Power play was okay for Team Maryland. 2-for-9 on that one. And they limited their own penalties to only 6 minutes. Still just, you know, right place, right time. You get a guy like John Myers, just gets a natural hat trick. Who knew? And then away they go. Had to shake it off 2 days later. Pro Tech comes into town, and Team Maryland gets a win on this one. 5-2, the final here. Team Maryland gets on the board 8:05 into the first. Eric Stroh's on even strength from William Walsh and Tiger Bjorlund. Pro Tech gets one back with Spencer Quinn on the power play, making it 1-1, but 13 seconds left in the frame. Denny Arkhipenko from Guyer and Grisham makes it 2-1 to go into the intermission. Right out of the intermission, though, Brendan Kalsick of the Junior Ducks, even strength goal, ties the game, but Team Maryland gets 2 goals from Halen Cookston with assists from Brian Teske and Bobby Guyer on the first one, and Walsh and Gusso on the second one, making it 4-2. And just for good luck, Bobby Guyer on the power play from Arkhipenko and Connor Ball, 6:33 to the third period, all she wrote on that one. Oliver Quinn gets back in net, 21 saves for him in the winning effort as Team Maryland splits the week as it is right now. So looking at the standings for Team Maryland, they are currently still in second place, 32 points. They are 20 points behind the New Jersey 87s, who are just running away with it. They only have one regulation loss. That's insanity. But Team Maryland kind of looking in their rear view just a little bit. They got the Philadelphia Little Flyers, who are just 6 points out of the second spot, and the Pro Tech Junior Ducks are 9 points back of them. So it's one of those things, again, win the games you need to win. That Apple Corps game should have went a completely different way with the attempts that they made onto net, but at the same time, create your own luck kind of deal. And you gotta soldier through it and just not make any mistakes kind of deal. So we are getting into our last throws here as the season for the EHL is winding down in a big, big way. Team Maryland actually travels up to Connecticut to play the Rough Riders Thursday and Friday. And then they're back going to ProTech for Tuesday game. So we'll cover that one as well. So three games next week. And then after that, we're down to our last 10 for Team Maryland. So a lot riding on these games here. Almost a must win on each and every one of them. They'll play the Rough Riders four times. They'll play ProTech twice. They'll play the 87s twice. They'll play the Little Flyers twice as well. So a lot of games, a lot of points available. Hopefully Team Maryland can pull it out and get into a playoff spot and kind of run it back what they had last season where they were ousted in the first round, which was right before COVID canceled the rest of the EHL season. Team Maryland will do it without Tiger Bjorlund, who is moving to Wesleyan University and the Cardinals. He will start his college career after that. Bjorlund was only on the team for a short time. He was only on the team for seven games this season, three assists in those games, but he's a Bethesda, Maryland native, so he goes right into a player's role, and we'll be hearing more about him as time goes on for his Wesleyan University, and a former Walt Whitman High graduate and a Montgomery Blue Devil, so we got that going for him on the defensive side, so we'll be hearing more of Tiger as it goes on, but not for Team Maryland. Kind of a decent hit. Bjorlund was starting to get steadier and steadier as the games went on. But alas, such is life. Move onward, upward, next person up into the lineup. So we will see what Team Maryland does. Three games, 6 points on the table here coming up this next week from now until the next time I talk to you. Let's talk about some players. We'll talk about some Black Bear alumni and I was thinking to myself, how are we going to divvy this up? How are we going to make it fresh and clean? We'll start off with a first-year edition, the inaugural team. And if there is anybody I did miss, please go to Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter and let me know who you want an update about, and I'll throw them into the mix here. I'll kind of keep this as a running list overall here. So we'll talk about players who were on the first-year team of the Black Bears, starting with Logan Kahns, who started his college career with Augsburg University D3 in Minnesota. He had a hell of a debut weekend, a goal and an assist in his first two games, both wins. So Logan Kahns getting things done offensively for Augsburg. Luke Posner, who was the first game-winning goal scorer for the Black Bears over there during the showcase in 2019. He is playing with Bethel University, two goals and an assist in only the opener. So that skill really paying the bills right now for Posner. Bradley Genyon, the big defenseman from the UK, playing in Trine University, one goal in six games this season for him so far. He had a breakout season last year in his university, his freshman year. So the big defenseman doing some work there at Trine. Thomas Jarman, we all know he moved on to D1. No points so far in six games for the Boston University Terriers, but I'm sure the adaptation of the game is coming sooner rather than later for him as his adjustments start to go into motion. Sean Henry, the man who was the president of Piney during that first year, he had a little rough go about it after leaving the Black Bears. He went to the Minnesota to play for the Magicians for a couple games. Kind of found a notch in New Mexico with the Ice Wolves last season, playing in 30-some games out there. He only played. He had one goal this year in 15 games for the Ice Wolves and was released not too long ago. No update on where he will be going, but a sturdy young player, and I think any team that picks him up, I think, will be better off for it to have the kind of character in the room there. Jack Rudin playing for Aurora College. Nothing started for them yet, but it should be noting there. Max Borst for St. John's University. 0 points in one game in their only game so far, but the shorthanded speedy specialist for the Black Bears is getting on to that next role, so good to see that one. Two guys who are in the pro leagues actually, over in their native land. Lucas Youngblom, the power play specialist for that first year. He is back in Bakken HC in Sweden. Only played four games so far, one goal, one assist, and now Sweden is on a full pause for another who knows how long, a month, two, maybe the seasons are canceled on some situations. So his season cut a little short, but he is over there doing some work in Sweden. The other pro is Karim Del Ponte, who is playing for the Swiss, I guess, A-League, as it were, kind of like the minor league to the NLA, and he is playing for HC Ticino. He is on loan for Ambri Pajota over there in Switzerland. He's got a goal and 8 assists in 31 games so far for Tyco, and good for him. Good for him to get that going, get over there. Interesting enough, Youngblom and Del Ponte. The Del Ponte did play, I think, for other teams in the NA, but Youngblom, the only experience overseas is his time with the Black Bears. So, pretty cool to see. So that's the first year guys that I kind of wrangled up that I thought were of note. Again, if you have any questions or want to know about a player that's out there and you want me to talk about him, go ahead and shoot me a message on Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter, and we'll get to them. Other players. Two guys who actually were a part of that first-year team, too, but now kind of moved on and now are on the Maryland side of things. Andrew Takis, the first of two. The other one, George Vinakis, but we'll talk about him in a second. Takis is playing for the Amarillo Bulls. Had a great weekend for himself, 2-0-0 with a .921 save percentage. However, on Sunday's game, after a goal, he got himself a game misconduct for abusive official. So he must have said something or bumped into a referee. I didn't see the tape or anything like that, but he was given DOS boot in that one. The Dunkirk, Maryland native showing his feisty side, even though he did get the win in that game as well. So he's having a good turnaround year, I would have to say, for himself. After, because he was all over. He was in Waterloo earlier this year. With the USHL, played in only a sparse minutes in some exhibition tilts. But yeah, so far, five games with Amarillo, 5-0-0, 172 goals against, .932 save percentage. A heck of a turnaround for that Maryland native. So, I mean, yeah, good for him, I suppose. Good for him, I suppose. Wish it was in a Black Bears uniform, but such is life. George Vinakis, Abingdon, Maryland native. I'm sure he knows Ice World really well. He's playing at Curry College right now. Curry canceled the conference, or their conference, the CCC canceled their season. So now they're waiting for non-conference scheduling to happen overall. So we will see what George Vinakis does on that. Mike Chen, we mentioned last week, he was back in stateside, and he is playing for Pensacola in the SPHL. He got an assist on Friday night for the Ice Pilots victory. Will Margell, who we will, the Black Bears will be seeing here soon, as he plays for the Johnstown Tomahawks, two goals and assist in a weekend sweep of Northeastern in three games. Moving on to Cameron O'Neill, another O'Neill. You have Jason, you had Colin, now you have Cameron, the younger brother of the other O'Neill boys. He's playing for Mount St. Charles 18U AAA. 7 goals, 16 points in 10 games. So I'm sure we're expecting big things out of this kid moving forward as yeah, it's this O'Neill family becoming just the big Odington powerhouse that we knew was going to happen since Piney Orchard wasn't came to be. Two retiring players, as we see right here, is Nick Storkin, who had been playing for the Wheeling Nailers, was on loan to the Binghamton Devils, started his career with the Montreal Canadiens franchise. He is retired. He's now a regional director of sales for a marketing company in Pittsburgh. And Eric Sweetman, he is now retired, former Idaho Steelheads defenseman, was in the Dallas Stars system, bumping up to Texas every now and again, but he is now a support operator for the Mosaic Data Service. So those two guys have hung up their skates. Thank you, gentlemen, for representing Maryland on a bigger stage, and all the best moving onward and upward. And we are onward and upward to another edition coming to a close. Thank you guys for listening. It was a heck of a time. It's weird doing this on recording this on a Tuesday night, but here we are. We will do this again next week, recording on a Tuesday night, and then hopefully back to regularly scheduled programming for Tuesday morning releases instead of Wednesday morning releases. So check out the Twitter and the Facebook at Chesapeake HW Pod for both, or ClutchingCrabHockey.com. Stuff's being sparsely thrown up there. So doing what we can. We got Stevenson men's and women's starting up, coming up here soon too. Next Friday, I think both teams. No, next Friday the men start, and then next Saturday the women start. So we will have some previews with that. Maybe, perhaps, we'll see, and then we'll have a little bit more full action in all of this. So that's it. That's all. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction, brought to you by all kinds of podcast hosts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, all kinds of stuff. Go up there, check out the podcast, download it, and away you go. You guys have a wonderful day. Play that Clutch and Crab Hockey, and I'll see you next week. Peace.